KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, it's clear and 20 degrees. We look for it to be mostly clear, sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. A high of 54, winds shifting from northwest to the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. In southwest Iowa news, firefighters from Shenandoah were dispatched at around 4 p.m. Thursday to a bridge fire. Upon arrival, crews found heavy smoke and flames engulfing the Wabash Trace Trail Bridge. According to a post on the department's social media page, crews were able to extinguish the fire and were on the scene for about 2 hours. The Page County Sheriff's Department, Page County EMA, and several members of the Wabash Trace organization assisted at the scene. The cause of the fire on that wood bridge remains undetermined and was under investigation. A fire that officials say was most likely caused by discarded smoking materials destroyed a home in Hancock Wednesday afternoon. Fire was reported around 3:10 p.m. at 409 East Duncan Street. Flames had fully engulfed the front porch when the first firefighting crews arrived and were quickly spreading throughout the house. The home's owner, daughter, and some dogs escaped before the flames consumed the structure. Firefighters from Hancock, Oakland, Avoca, and Walnut were on the scene. A Council Bluffs man was transported from the Montgomery County Jail to the Pottawatomie County Jail Wednesday morning. 28-year-old Dakota Allen Culbertson was wanted on a Pott County warrant for theft in the second degree and also for fugitive from justice. His bond on the theft charge was set at $5,000. A historic surge in unemployment claims continued last week in Iowa as more workers lost their jobs in an economy devastated by the coronavirus. The U.S. Department of Labor reported Thursday that 67,334 people in Iowa filed for unemployment benefits in the week that ended on April 4th. That's roughly the population of Waterloo, Iowa's sixth largest city. Labor Department said the claims were about 20% increase over those filed in Iowa the prior week, which had been a high for the state. Pandemic-related layoffs in several industries, from healthcare to food services, were driving factors behind Iowa's claims. A special investigation by the state auditor's office has concluded an employee in the Iowa Department of Human Services filed more than $10,000 worth of improper and unsupported travel claims. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Social worker Bobby Miller worked out of the agency's office in Dallas County. Auditors reviewed the travel claims and work records she submitted over a nearly three-year period. The auditor's report concludes Miller claimed excess mileage for some destinations, didn't have supporting records for other trips, and had claimed reimbursement for work-related travel on days she was out sick or on vacation. Last April, Miller asked the agency's director to pay her more than was allowed annually for travel. That sparked an internal review of her travel claims. Miller was placed on administrative leave last May. She resigned from her job last summer. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Copies of the state auditor's report have been filed with Des Moines Police and the Polk County Attorney, as well as the State Attorney General and Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. While parts of Iowa had record high temperatures in the mid-80s earlier this week, a cold front has cut those highs in half, and forecasters say the chilly, unseasonable weather may be sticking around. Meteorologist Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA's Midwest Climate Hub based in Ames, says there's no warm-up in sight.
The main part of this goes into next week, where we have sub-freezing temperatures possible into next week. The downside, unfortunately, is that this pattern could stay with us for another couple weeks.
Toddy says there is a potential for some freeze damage and, much like a year ago, a slowing of spring planting for Iowa's farmers.
We could still have some repeated cold shots that plants then could be far enough along that if we get freezing temperatures, we have an issue. And if that cold does stay with us and not give us too much of a warm-up over the next couple weeks, we again will have that same problem with soils not warming up quickly enough and not drying out enough that we can start getting field work done.
Toddy says it doesn't look like much precipitation is coming with the cold, fortunately, which will benefit some farmers in the short term.
The advantage for row crop people is you can still do a lot of prep work. If you can get into the field, that sort of thing. So you can start getting ready. Just don't want to be putting out anything except for, you know, maybe some small grains that would probably be okay to get started on.
And Toddy says that long-range trends show both temperatures and precipitation staying below normal for at least the next month or so. Well, Easter and spring holidays are a traditional time of family gatherings, celebrations, and observances, and like many other events and activities, Southwest Iowa public health officials advise residents that those observances should be different this year. Cass County Public Health Director Beth Olson says we know many families gather together over Easter and Passover, but like school, shopping, and most other activities, we're asking residents to modify their plans in light of COVID-19. Gathering of the family and friends, whether locally or by travel to other states, is discouraged. When people come together, she says the chances of spreading the COVID-19 virus will grow. Although people with symptoms of the virus, such as coughing, fever, and shortness of breath, obviously should not be around other people, even those who are seemingly well should do the same. Olson says, we're learning that some people with coronavirus don't have any symptoms and that even those who later develop symptoms can pass the virus on to others before they show symptoms. That's why even people who do not feel ill should stay home. Families and friends are encouraged to find alternate ways to observe the holidays and to stay connected. Try Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, or other electronic means of connecting. Phone calls and letters are especially welcome during this time of social distancing. As of Thursday, officials with the Cass County Public Health System said there are no COVID-19 cases in Cass County, and the Department of Public Health in Cass County continues to work with the Iowa Department of Public Health and other state and local partners to respond to this ongoing pandemic. Now, there is also one confirmed case of COVID-19 in Mills County and one confirmed case in Union County just announced yesterday afternoon. Officials say they're working closely with the Iowa Department of Public Health and other state and local partners to respond to the ongoing pandemic. In our funeral announcements, Ernie Spiker, age 89, of Malvern, died Tuesday. An open visitation for Ernie Spiker is today from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Les Hills Funeral Home in Malvern. After the state and federal restrictions have been lifted on COVID-19, his family will hold a celebration of life for Ernie Spiker. Cheryl Carrier, age 74, of Avoca, died Thursday at her home. Lying in state for public viewing will be held for Cheryl Carrier on Monday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home at Avoca. Carla Jo James, age 57, of Glidden and formerly of Exira, died Tuesday. A private family funeral service for Carla Jo James will be held at the Sharp Family Funeral Home in Carroll on Monday. A live stream broadcast and recording of services can be found on the Sharp Funeral Home's YouTube channel page under this same link at this obituary page at KJAN.com or the Sharp website. Deborah Ann Drammon Robinson, age 64, of rural Winterset, died March 29th. An open visitation for Deborah Robinson will be on April 15th from noon until 7 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Arden Leroy Grieshopper, of age 71, of Cumberland, died Tuesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Arrangements for Arden Grieshopper are currently pending with the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.